Today is neither Christmas nor Easter. And yet today, Pentecost, is the day that we receive the gift of new life. It is the conclusion of the Easter gift that we celebrate. To speak of Christ born in us, as we do in Christmas, and to speak of Christ risen within us, as we do at Easter, is always to use religious language that says wonderful things have happened to us, that God's Spirit actually dwells within our spirit. The living Spirit of God has entered our world to dwell within us and bring our world to fruition. But we ask today, what does all of this mean in ordinary, everyday language? And perhaps we should start from ordinary life and begin to probe its deep meaning. And then we discover what it is that the church and the feast of Pentecost are telling us today. To begin with, the very word Spirit means so many things to us. And to reflect upon them for just a moment will help us to understand the gift of God and Spirit. We see of a person, she has a great spirit, meaning that she's fun, she's alive, it's good to have her around. Or we ask people, how are your spirits today? Wondering if at that moment they are up or down. We also speak of team spirit, school spirit, community spirit. We begin to realize that spirit is a quality that can belong to a group. It is not just given to individuals. We speak of people with high spirits. And as a matter of fact, the term is even applied to animals. A high-spirited horse is one that might be difficult to break in. Spirit suggests that someone or something is very much alive, very much alive. And here is another clue. We use the word spirit for the higher forms of life, never for the lower. No one ever speaks of a high-spirited turtle, and we never speak about an inspired caterpillar. The word is used for creatures who are more alive than other creatures. Now, there's another use of the word that includes spirit. It is the word inspired or inspiration. Just what do we do when we are inspired? We come up with something new. We think of solutions. We get good ideas. Perhaps we even establish a new record. A great athlete as well as a great artist is able to give an inspired performance. To be inspired also means that one will create. To create. Now that is a very, very important clue to understand what the Holy Spirit has to offer us. It's true that artists always joke about whether there is more inspiration or perspiration that goes into their masterpieces. But actually, they're always both, in any artistic work. And remember now, we always speak of artist in the wide sense of the word. Every person is an artist in their own way. To bake, to cook, to create a child, to paint, whatever it might be, evokes the creative spirit. It means that the Spirit of the living God has entered our flesh. Neither God nor the person, the artist, in the wide sense of the word, is ever able to work alone. We must remember that the living God is creator, And that the living God made us in his own image and likeness. That means that we continue the creative work of the living God in our lives, in this world, that God created and then asked us to bring to conclusion. Whatever we do, and all that we do is more or less creative every day, we continue the work of the living God in our lives. We do something always that is divine and human. That is the meaning of the incarnation, the meaning of Christmas, that God became man that he might make us God-like. And so the work of an artist, the work of every person, is the work of the spirit and the mind and the flesh. In the beginning, we are told that the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and then dry land appeared. Today, the Spirit of the living God, this very day, and tomorrow and the day after, the Spirit of the living God continues to move through us, within us, over wood and marble, and typewriters and cellos and clay and hands. It means, of course, that some persons like Mozart and Michelangelo were so gifted that no matter what they did, or their parents or teachers, to contribute to their being gifted, their genius, whenever we see their sculpture or hear their music, reminds us that the living God made the first gift that those great men had and that we enjoy to this very day. The work that they did or we did always results in a masterpiece of a greater or lesser degree. It means that when we witness the sculpture of Michelangelo, there is a piece of the master there, and the same when we listen to Mozart. If the form of the music or the sculpture has caught the spirit, then it is also a piece of God that we witness. Whenever the form captures a bit of the spirit, we then witness and appreciate God. And that is true also of all people of lesser talent. We come in contact with the creativity of God whenever we come in contact with the talents that people display because they came from the God. The Spirit of the living God given to us is creative. The Spirit is gift. And all of these reflections on Spirit are clues to another important discovery. First, note that Spirit is always associated with life. It is the quality or the gift of greater and richer life. And secondly, it is always linked to the new, to something that is new and fresh, to actions that are creative. No spirited performer would ever dare to repeat a dull routine. And thirdly, spirit means the power to break boundaries, to break through, to go beyond. We think immediately of the athlete. And so we are talking then about life and about newness and about power. And all this is a clue to what God is and to what God shares with us. How incarnation works when the Spirit of God is joined to our flesh. And today at Pentecost, we bring incarnation to a conclusion. Christ born into our midst, lived, suffered, died, and rose from the dead, and then sent his spirit to touch our spirit. And today we learn how again to come alive. We learn how to stop living in fear. And we might even dare to learn how to enjoy life day by day and hour by hour. To learn how to live in the eternal now, to take each day one day at a time, because it is not a dead end. And we feel that we have indeed the power to do marvelous things, because we no longer live alone, because we recognize through our faith that the Spirit of the living God lives within us. And Spirit, along with person, bring to us the noblest words of our language. We speak of the human spirit with reverence. We think of great-souled people, the human spirit of people who do great things, of people who have survived floods and wars and disasters, and how people have again and again renewed the face of the earth. It means that there's a moral here at Pentecost, a moral dimension above and beyond the intellectual dimension. It is simply not possible to think of a high-spirited person who would dare to refuse to forgive another person. You can never think of a high-spirited person who would go on bearing a grudge toward you. You can never think of a high-spirited person who would be mean or act out of a petty motive. And so what we have been doing this afternoon is exploring religious language. We have been talking about life and creativity and power as the fruits of the Spirit. To help us to understand that in our day-to-day living, we experience the fruits of the Spirit. It does not mean that God is out there somewhere, but rather it means that the Spirit of the living God is down here somewhere, within us people who have the gift of faith. It is within our own life that the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit are real. That life is God's gift. Jesus makes the promise that from day to day, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. The breath of God is given to us, as we are told in the gospel today, to forgive sin. And it's difficult to forgive people who have hurt us. It takes a great deal of help from the Spirit to forgive people and to allow ourselves and them to be healed. To forgive those people who have trespassed against us. And yet that is exactly the kind of power, the kind of healing power that the Spirit of the risen Jesus gives to us this afternoon. And then, of course, the final barrier to life is total. It is the destruction of all that we are, our living bodies. And that is death. And that is the boundary that Jesus has broken through. The athlete who has won the race and run the course. And that is the ultimate power or the testing of the Spirit. The breakthrough of Jesus that produces the ultimate gift, a new creation, a new life. What happened to Jesus at Easter Sunday will happen someday to us. We too shall someday taste the fullness of new life of paradise. But already now, we anticipate it at each Easter and also at each Eucharist on our liturgies of Sunday. The anticipation of paradise. And St. Paul tells us today that the Spirit is one, but that the Spirit dispenses many gifts. And that's why he's talking about the Christian community. His words have a wide application, that the world is filled with many peoples. Many of those peoples shall never say Jesus is Lord, because they will never have heard them. They will never be part of the household of the faith that we enjoy and which is our greatest gift. And yet, mystery of mysteries, for Paul is telling us that we have all been called to drink of the one Spirit, even if some people are never able to say Jesus is Lord. We have all been called to share life, and our task is to make it possible for all people to live